May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 515. Holy Ghost, we look to thee. Raise the dead, the captive free. From the mighty take the prey. Teach the weak to watch and pray. Hymn 515.
Thank you. from the Word of God, we will read the Gospel according to John, chapter 3. John, chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea. And there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Enon, near to Salem, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing, except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness, that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth. And no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. May God bless the reading of his word.
Let us sing hymn 123. Blood has a voice to pierce the skies, revenge the blood of Abel cries. But the dear stream, when Christ was slain, speaks peace as loud from every vein. Hymn 123.
Thank you.
the Lord, help us in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty, most merciful Lord, we pray thy blessing on the service of thy house this evening. May all be done in thy fear, and to the honour and glory of thy name. We would as ever come on mercy's ground through the Redeemer's blood, our only hope, our only plea, for our acceptance in the Beloved, and for thy forgiveness, and for cleansing in the fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. We would thank thee for thy wonderful love, the wonderful love of the Saviour, in his matchless condescension, even to suffering and death. May thy word rest on our spirit who was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. May we know the reality of these vital things, especially to be made ready, to be made right, prepared for the great day, that it may not come upon us unawares. And do prepare us for thy will, and be with us in the pathway thou hast ordained for us to walk. Keep sin, Satan, unbelief from us. Do uphold us by thy power. Bless us with strength equal to our day. Do instruct us and guide us in the way we are to go. And may we see the Saviour going before to make crooked places straight and rough places plain. Keep us in thy fear, and teach us to pray. May we have that spirit of real prayer and access to the mercy seat. We thank thee for the privilege of prayer. May we know the reality of it. On our prayer this evening, thou wilt be present with us, to meet with us, to touch our hearts, to answer our cases. For how often we feel like poor blind Bartimaeus, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by, but in thy mercy do not pass me by. Oh, do come right where we are. Do everything for us. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon us. May we know something of the Saviour's love. Light shining in darkness, more light, more love, more liberty. So do grant thy blessing this evening as we meet before thee as a congregation. May it be unto thee, our heavenly Shiloh, that the gathering of the people shall be. And may all our needs, speaker and hearer, be mercifully supplied. Or may we be led and taught by thy Spirit. We pray thy blessing on the young people, that their hearts might be touched to seek thy face. For thou hast kindly said, I love them that love me, and they that seek me early shall find me. We ask thy blessing on the children and the little ones and the babies and the one expected. And do grant thy favour in the instruction given in the Sabbath school. May that word be much with our young people. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. For all thy mercies we thank thee, not least for the privilege of freedom of worship in this evil day. May it be preserved to us. So we do ask thy blessing in this sanctuary. Thy former mercies we recall, but still our souls desire anew thy sweetest, loveliest face of you. Bless the preaching of the gospel in this sanctuary, we pray. Take not away thy spirit. Do send faithful men to declare the whole counsel of God, to point sinners to Christ, to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, maybe with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. And may there be a people here formed for thy praise, formed for thyself, showing forth thy praise. May sinners' hearts be touched with the love of the Saviour and sweetly constrained by that love to deny self, to take up the cross, and to follow thee. So do grant thy blessing on the people as they gather. Where there is death, spiritual death, could it please thee to quicken into life? But remember the seeking, inquiring souls, those who want a token for good, to see the scarlet cord in the window. May there be many such, sheltering beneath atoning blood, proving the promise true, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Be with those unwell, those who are sad, those with mountains before them. We would ever pray that thou wilt touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Be with all our congregations, our ministers. We think of the pastors in their own places and those travelling, some perhaps in difficulty and some late at night, maybe under the shadow of the Almighty. May they know the shadow of Psalm 121. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even for evermore. Bless thy people, we pray. Feed them with the bread of life, that may they know those streams of living water that flow from beneath the sacred throne of God and that flow by the way of Calvary. That river, the streams whereof, shall make glad the city of our God. May there be a few made glad even this evening. And oh, do have mercy on our country. And do remember thy people in all places, even to the uttermost parts of the earth, for what promises thou hast made of a people, even to the utmost parts of the earth, who shall be brought to bow down at the Saviour's feet. We pray that we might see it, that the Lord Jesus might have all the honour and glory. For we feel it is a sinful world in which we live, and a sinful day. But thou art the same to endless years, the eternal rock on which the church is built, where we would have our hope to be built. That rock which can never be shaken. And as we read this morning, the mountains shall depart, may depart, the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed. We thank thee for the promises, for the word of thy grace. Oh, may it build us up and give us an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Above all, we pray the Saviour might be revealed to us by the Holy Spirit, that he might be made precious to our souls. Be precious to us. All beside is as dross compared to the love and the blood of thy cross. May we be like the man seeking goodly pearls and finding one pearl of great price. May we be like the man finding the treasure hid in the field. But may we have that grace to be willing to part with all, that we might possess the Lord Jesus as our own, our Saviour and our God. Do forgive our failures and sins, even in our prayers and in our worship. Ever deliver us from hardness in the things of God. Keep us humbled at the Saviour's feet. May we be favoured to know a little of that glorious liberty of the children of God, our sons from bondage free. We ask great things at thy hand, but thou art a great God in thy wisdom and in thy compassion and in thy divine almighty power, able to do far abundantly above all we can ask or think. We pray, Lord Jesus, in thy name. Amen.
Hymn number 195. Assist my soul, my heavenly King, thy everlasting love to sing. and joyful spread thy praise abroad, as one through grace that's born of God. Hymn 195.
Thank you.
that I will speak to you this evening from the chapter we read, John chapter 3 and verse 35. The Gospel according to John, the third chapter, verse 35. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. John, the third chapter, verse 35. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. What a sublime, sacred statement this is. The Father loveth the Son. Something beyond our comprehension, but something we believe. The love of the eternal Father to his eternal Son. And the wonderful thing is that the Father views all his poor, unworthy, sinful people in Christ, and he loves him in him with an everlasting love. The Father loveth the Son. We have that beautiful word, don't we, of his people's salvation. To the praise of the glory of his name, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. That is the one his Father loves. And that's where unworthy sinners find acceptance. The Father loveth the Son. And yet though the love of the Father to his dear Son is something we can never understand, yet he gave him. The Father, how he loves the Son and rates his merit high. For no small cause, he sent him down to suffer, bleed and die. Well, we read it this evening, didn't we, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And we might read it, his only beloved Son as well. And what did he give him to? To shame and sorrow, to suffering and death, to Gethsemane, the judgment hall, and Calvary. And all this for unworthy sinners. And then to see that the love of the Son of God is equal to that of his Father. And so his love to his people, that having loved his own who were in the world, that he loved them even to the end. The Father loveth the Son. Now he loves him as his only begotten Son. He also loves him as the mediator. The mediator. And him hath God exalted as a prince and a saviour. And it's because of the deep love and the high esteem with which the Father regards his beloved Son that he's given all things. All things into his hand. Human language fails us, but the Father can trust his beloved Son to accomplish all his purposes from first to last. And that's why he's put all things into his hand, for his people's good and for the honour and glory of his name. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. Well, what a subject then we have before us this evening. All things being given into the hands of Christ. Almighty hands, all wise hands, merciful hands, gracious hands, those hands which were nailed to the cross, but those hands now at the Father's right hand, which are not shortened that they cannot save. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. Well, first of all, the whole of creation. The whole of creation, and the Father gave it into the hands of his beloved Son. Oh, the wonder of creation. We speak of it, we read of it, but the all things in 7 days were created out of nothing, and all very good. What do we read of it in the first chapter? This is speaking of the Son of God. All things were made by him, and without him was there not anything made that was made. So our Saviour is an almighty creator. That might seem at first just a point of doctrine, just a point to be noticed. But quite often the Holy Spirit brings it up. This one you've been brought to trust. This one who has to deal with your case. This is the one with whom nothing shall be impossible. You know, if he created the world, then he can deal with your case. If he created the world, he can lay your mountain low. So that well-known verse, our children learn it. May they prove it. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, from whence cometh all my help. You see, that's what I need. It's this help I need. But where's it come from? This glorious person in whom the whole of creation was put, and he accomplished it. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. The work of creation. But then, the one strange work that exceeds them all. the work of redemption. On the Father, from everlasting in the covenant of grace, he placed it all in the hands of his beloved Son. As he chose a people, as he gave them to his dear Son, and the Son of God undertook to be their Saviour and surety. And he undertook to do all that his Father ordained him to do. The whole of redemption in his hands. And what a mercy it was in his hands. Because if redemption work had never been put in the Saviour's hands, then there were no hope for any of us. We must all have perished. Redemption is our great need. Now, you young ones, you know what redemption means. It means to set something free or someone free by paying a price. You know, years ago in our country, there were pawn shops in all the streets. They could be recognised by three brass balls. And what were they? If a person needed money badly, he takes some precious article and he take it to the pawn shop. And they'd advance him a sum of money. But if ever he wanted that precious article back, he got to redeem it. He got to pay a price for it. The price they fixed at the pawn shop, more than they'd given him. And until the price was paid, that precious article didn't belong to him. But once he could pay that price, then that article was redeemed. Now, that's just a slight illustration. Redeemed, with Jesus' blood redeemed. That was the price of his people's redemption. And so, in his mysterious incarnation, when the Saviour said, "Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God," he came with the work of redemption in his hands. And what a work it was! Opposed by sin and Satan in the world at every step. He had to live a perfect, holy, spotless life to bring in an everlasting righteousness. He got to lay down his life even in death. He got to suffer those agonies, even unto blood, the suffering of his body and his holy soul. Oh, but the Father loveth the Son. Oh, how the Father's love was upon him. You know, there are many ways, aren't there, in which the Father loves his Son. But the Lord Jesus on one occasion said, "Herein doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again." The willingness of the Saviour to die. Oh, to see the Saviour going to the cross, with that whole work of redemption to be accomplished. And before he died, with a loud voice he cried, "It is finished." the whole work of redemption. They say originally that word, it is finished, is one word. It really means paid. It was what was written across a debt when it was cancelled. Didn't we think of it this morning? Peace procured by blood divine, cancelled all thy sins and mine. It is no wonder one of our hymns is called The Wonders of Redemption. And did the holy and the just, the wonders of redemption, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. And that work of redemption is forever complete. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken from it. It's a solid foundation on which the feeblest soul can rest his hope for time and for eternity. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. That work of redemption was sealed in his glorious resurrection, ascension and exaltation. He hath God exalted as a prince and a saviour to give repentance unto Israel and the remission of sins. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. Now that's the whole of redemption. And though redemption was finished on the cross, there's the application of redemption. The application of redemption. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. What's the application of redemption? That everyone the Saviour redeemed on the cross, for whom he laid down his life, one by one, they shall be brought to feel their need, to see they must die. They're sinners, they're unready, unprepared. Redemption work is being applied. And so that sinner who's brought into that real spiritual concern, well, his great point surely is to have an interest in this finished redemption. And so, led by the Spirit, he flees for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before him. There's no uncertainty about the work of redemption, and there's no uncertainty about its application. For all the chosen ones, for all for whom the work of redemption was put in the Saviour's hand. Now look at Manasseh, as far from God as sheep can run. Is there any hope for him? He's one the Saviour's going to die for. And he's the vilest of sinners. He makes the streets of Jerusalem run with blood. Oh, but the application of redemption, the appointed time comes. And that sacred stream from Jesus' veins is free to take away a Mary's and Manasseh's stains or sins more vile than they. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hands. And what a mercy that all things are in his hands. Not this kind of indefinite redemption that so many delight in, and it depends on the sinner. The whole of it's in the Saviour's hands from first to last. It's a sure and certain salvation. What a mercy that is. And then you see the dying thief. Well, people talk about the 11th hour. Surely this was the 12th hour. And we read when he was crucified with his fellow thief, he was reviling, but the application of redemption. The Saviour can't lose the purchase of his blood. And so we see that wonder of wonders. We indeed justly, but this man hath done nothing amiss. Who taught him that? And that prayer, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Who taught him he was Lord and he had a kingdom and he might give it? Verily, verily, I say unto thee today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. In the great day, it will be a glorious church, having neither spot, nor wrinkle, nor any such thing. And the great point is, for you and me, personally and savingly, to seek to be blessed with an interest in that finished redemption and the application of it to our own souls. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. And then the whole of providence. The whole of providence. What is providence, really, you may ask? We use the word a lot, but what does it mean? Really, providence is the Lord fulfilling in time everything that was purposed in eternity. Now, the whole of providence is in the Saviour's hand. If you think of every rolling planet and the rise and fall of kingdoms, or if you come the other way and you see your life's minutest circumstance, the fall of a sparrow, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now, do you believe it's all in the Saviour's hands? Even with the wicked, they can do nothing apart from divine providence. But with the Lord's people, it's a kind providence. It's an all-wise providence. It's a loving providence. Explained in that word, and we know that all things work together for good. Not that we can always see it, certainly we don't always feel it, but we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. How do we know it? Because the Father has placed it all in the hands of his beloved Son. He's in complete control. We read of what the government is doing and not doing and failing to do. The government shall be upon his shoulder. The Lord will always have the last word. You see, this is this meek and lowly Jesus who hung, bleeding, dying on the cross, but now exalted at God's right hand. He's in control. He does as he will, he doeth according to his own will. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? It's a wonderful thing in this dying world, this uncertain world, to see the whole of providence in the world, in the Saviour's hands. But especially to see it in the life and experience of God's people. Now, in fulfilling his providence, God does work in a mysterious way, his wonders do perform, but it's not mysterious to him. His ways in the sea, his path in the mighty waters, his footsteps are not known, but it's not mysterious to him. The Lord knows the end from the beginning. It's a wonderful thing, the doctrine of divine providence. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. One thing in passing, we specially read that the Father has given into the hands of his beloved Son. I'm thinking of the 89th Psalm, that great Psalm of the Covenant. And here is the Eternal Father speaking of that Son he loves. He hath laid help on one that is mighty. That's where his people's help is to be found. It's something they need all the time, every day of their life, in providence and in grace. And where is it to be found? Well, it's one of these all things that the Father has put into the hand of his dear Son. I take it to mean this in its simplicity, its beautiful simplicity. But before the world was made, the Eternal Father saw all the help that all his people would ever need, and he provided it in his beloved Son. And he calls his beloved Son the one who is mighty, because however difficult the help his people need, he's almighty to give it. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. The whole of creation, the whole of redemption from first to last, and its application, the whole of providence. And then, all the concerns of his beloved people, he's given them into the hands of his Son. All the concerns, great and small, their sins, their soul, eternity, their troubles, their worries, their joys, their deliverances, all their concerns. He's given them into the hands of his beloved Son to deal with them for his people. So, beloved friends, your wisdom and my wisdom is to place our concerns in that place where the Father has placed them, from eternity, in the hands of his beloved Son, because he can deal with them better than we can. And there's so many scriptures here, aren't there? Cast thy burden on the Lord, he shall sustain thee. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Cast, he said, on me thy care. 'Tis enough that I am nigh. I will all thy burdens bear. I will all thy needs supply. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. All the concerns of all his people. And then finally, the Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. Not just his people's concerns, but his people themselves. The Father so loves his poor, unworthy people that he's committed not just the concerns, he's put them into the hands of his beloved Son to save them, to keep them, to bring them safely through at last. What a wonderful thing, a poor, weak, helpless sinner, held secure in the arms of an almighty Saviour. And there is the safety and the everlasting security of all the Church of God. And that's why not the feeblest can ever be lost. You know, there's one or two lovely little hymns on this subject. May I be able to hold them fast? One is this. If I am found in Jesus' hands, my soul can ne'er be lost. What a word that is. Another one is this. You are safe in your Redeemer's hands, who bears your name upon his heart. Safe in his hands, but as love with an everlasting love, bearing your unworthy name upon his heart. Oh, the wonder of it. The blessedness of it. Shouldn't we be thankful for such a word as this? Shouldn't we seek a resting place in it, all on the grounds of mercy, despite all our sins, our failures, our fears? The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand.
The collections last Lord's Day were £715, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Chapman will preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Bernard Burgess next Lord's Day, who will, God willing, administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Let us close with hymn 984. Hark how the gospel trumpet sounds. Christ and free grace therein abounds. Free grace to such a sin as thee. And if free grace, why not for me? Hymn 984.
Oh,
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us forever. Amen.